I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by the Foundation for Prayerful Living and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. We'll continue in song with hymn number 136.
I climb with joy the heights of mind to soar o'er time and space. I yet shall know as I am known and see thee face to face. Till time and space and
again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Universal Spiritual Progress. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the Bible, Psalm. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Second Peter, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Revelation. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And from Science and Health. Question. How can I progress most rapidly in the understanding of Christian Science? Answer. Study thoroughly the letter and imbibe the spirit. Adhere to the divine principle of Christian Science and follow the behests of God, abiding steadfastly in wisdom, truth, and love. If the disciple is advancing spiritually, he is striving to enter in. He constantly turns away from material sense and looks towards the imperishable things of spirit. If honest, he will be in earnest from the start and gain a little each day in the right direction, till at last he finishes his course with joy. Jesus' unchanged physical condition, after what seemed to be death, was followed by his exaltation above all material conditions, and this exaltation explained his ascension and revealed unmistakably a probationary and progressive state beyond the grave. Jesus was the way. That is, he marked the way for all men. In his final demonstration, called the Ascension, which closed the earthly record of Jesus, he rose above the physical knowledge of his disciples, and the material senses saw him no more. His students then received the Holy Ghost. By this is meant that by all they had witnessed and suffered, they were aroused to an enlarged understanding of divine science, even to the spiritual interpretation and discernment of Jesus' teachings and demonstrations, which gave them a faint conception of the life which is God. They no longer measured man by material sense. After gaining the true idea of their glorified master, they became better healers, leaning no longer on matter, but on the divine principle of their work. The influx of life was sudden. It was sometimes an overwhelming power, as on the day of Pentecost. The magnitude of Jesus' work, his material disappearance before their eyes, and his reappearance, all enabled the disciples to understand what Jesus had said. Heretofore they had only believed, now they understood. The advent of this understanding is what is meant by the descent of the Holy Ghost, that influx of divine science, which so illuminated Pentecostal day, and is now repeating to ancient history. There is neither place nor opportunity in science for error of any sort. Every day makes its demands upon us for higher proofs rather than professions of Christian power. These proofs consist solely in the destruction of sin, sickness, and death, by the power of Spirit as Jesus destroyed them. This is an element of progress, and progress is the law of God, whose law demands of us only what we can certainly fulfill. The sculptor turns from the marble to his model in order to perfect his conception. We are all sculptors, working at various forms, molding and chiseling thought. What is the model before mortal mind? Is it imperfection, joy, sorrow, sin, suffering? Have you accepted the mortal model? Are you reproducing it? Then you are haunted in your work by vicious sculptures and hideous forms. Do you not hear from all mankind of the imperfect model? The world is holding it before your gaze continually. The result is that you are liable to follow those lower patterns, limit your life work, and adopt into your experience the angular outline and deformity of matter models. To remedy this, we must first turn our gaze in the right direction and then walk that way. We must form perfect models in thought and look at them continually, or we shall never carve them out in grand and noble lives. Let unselfishness, goodness, mercy, justice, health, holiness, love, the kingdom of heaven reign within us, and sin, disease, and death will diminish until they finally disappear. Let us accept science, relinquish all theories based on sense testimony, give up imperfect models and elusive ideals, and so let us have one God, one mind, and that one perfect, producing his own models of excellence. Let the male and female of God's creating appear. Let us feel the divine energy of Spirit bringing us into newness of life and recognizing no mortal nor material power is able to destroy. Let us rejoice that we are subject to the divine powers that be, such as the true science of being. Any other theory of life or God is delusive and mythological. Day, the irradiance of life. Life, the spiritual idea of truth and love. And the evening and the morning were the first day, Genesis 1:5. The objects of time and sense disappear in the illumination of spiritual understanding. And mind measures time according to the good that is unfolded. This unfolding is God's day, and there shall be no night there. Year, a solar measurement of time. Mortality, space for repentance. One day is with the Lord as a thousand years. 2 Peter 3:8. One moment of divine consciousness, or the spiritual understanding of life and love, is a foretaste of eternity. Science reveals the glorious possibilities of immortal man, forever unlimited by the mortal senses. The Christ element in the Messiah made him the way-shower, truth, and life. The eternal truth destroys what mortals seem to have learned from error, and man's real existence as a child of God comes to light. The discoverer of Christian science finds the path less difficult when she has the high goal always before her thoughts than when she counts her footsteps in endeavoring to reach it. When the destination is desirable, expectation speeds our progress. The struggle for truth makes one strong instead of weak, resting instead of wearying one. When it is learned that disease cannot destroy life and that mortals are not saved from sin or sickness by death. This understanding will quicken into newness of life.
Thine is the key.